This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Well, if you call Carol today, she's not going to answer the phone, but I will. I'm Mike Moore, and Carol Lawrence of Red Arrow fame is back on Monday. Tracy Gregoire from 107.7 The Pulse, an account executive, a marketing expert. What do they like you to be called?
Account executive, typically.
Account executive. Okay. All right. Hey, works for me. And joining us in studio, I think it's the first time, one of the first times we've actually talked chocolate to a real serious chocolate person, the person that really has studied it. I mean, I look at the some of the accolades and the places that Samantha Downing has been for her education. It's who knew that there were so many different places to get certified, degreed, and educated. The Dancing Lion Chocolate Shop is on Elm Street in downtown Manchester. It is probably is the most unusual chocolate shop in New Hampshire. I say that in a very positive way because the experience of chocolate and chocolate as art is something that you just don't find anywhere. The shop is owned by Richard Tango Lowy, and I took a quote, Samantha, off the website. Richard, he says, quote, "She is a most difficult mistress." Now, is that a reference to you or chocolate?
I really hope it's a reference to chocolate.
So does that kind of sum up that chocolate is this wonderful medium in which to work, but treat her wrong, and she's going to just make your life miserable?
Sure. That's pretty much how it works. Chocolate is not easy to work with, to really understand how to work with it. It takes a lot of skill. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of patience above everything else. If you're off by a degree or two in temperature, you get to start all over again from the beginning.
Uh-huh. And even, I'm sure, with Richard and you, I mean, it must happen from time to time, and you have to throw out these very expensive ingredients, or hopefully maybe you can repurpose it somehow. You must have plan B for stuff that doesn't really work when you go a degree over.
We do, and actually what's nice about chocolate is you just remelt it down, unless it's a finished bonbon. So you do have to start again from the beginning, but chocolate is one of those wonderful things that you can remelt over and over again, and as long as you get all the not bad crystals, but the crystals you don't want out of the chocolate, then you can just keep going with it.
All right. Speaking of crystals, I wrote down what the chocolate structure is, Tracy.
I was just going to ask, crystals and chocolate? Listen, never heard the two together.
The basic is six-phase polymorphic. Do I have it right?
Six-phase polymorphic crystalline structure.
So people, next time I bite into something from the Dancing Lion, I'm going to say, wow, this is a chemistry project that somebody figured out.
It really is. Cocoa butter is what gives the crystalline structure and gives us all the problems. And I say problems. You can eat chocolate at any phase you'd like, and it'll taste just as yummy. But to get the that snap and the beautiful shine and really what we want out of a good chocolate, you want those specific crystals to be in line.
Interesting. When I leave here, I'm going to go home and make 10 dozen what I call my chocolate infinity cookies, which I use Ghirardelli just because, as far as a broad-based mainstream chocolate, that seems to be the best, even though you pay a little bit more for it. So and of course they give you very specific directions. Use a double boiler and all that. I just keep an eye on it. I mean, I don't do it that way. But if you go beyond and you scorch it, I mean, then it's beyond help, right?
It really is, unless you want to eat burnt bits of chocolate, which isn't as good.
No.
Yeah, exactly. So, I alluded to the fact that you have a pretty good, hybrid's not the word, a pretty good pedigree in terms of your education. And, I mean, I know that you you were an honors graduate of École Chocolat. And I'm sure there's a bunch more. Once I saw all the places you've been, I said, I can't write all these down. So tell us where you've been, because, I mean, it's serious. It's serious education.
It really is. I looked all over the place for chocolate classes when I first got interested in chocolate. And I actually took one of my first classes at Van Otis Chocolates down the street.
Did you?
I did.
There's a tip of the hat to them.
Yes, absolutely.
They could play a part in your education.
Yes. And then from there, I started researching more online. And there are few and far between actual chocolate dedicated schools. So I found one out of Vancouver, Canada, École Chocolat, which is an online course. So I had, at that point, started my own at-home business out of doing chocolate and, you know, things for my family and friends. And I did the online course, and I graduated with honors. And then I went to France this past April to do the Master Chocolatier course at Valrhona.
That's impressive.
It was.
And then how did you come to be associated with the Dancing Lion?
My husband and actually signed me up for one of Rich's classes when he was out of the Franco-American Center.
Okay.
We went to a tasting class, and Rich and I met, and we chatted, and he said, oh, well, I might be looking for a chocolatier soon. So that's, I said, well, that's I really like
timing.
Chocolate, so that's great.
So you've been with him since its inception?
I've been with him since we opened on Elm Street, probably 4 months after he opened.
Which was
I was
when?
Hired. It was Thanksgiving for, well, this Thanksgiving it'll be 4 years.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah.
So you went to France. Did he pick up the tab on that, or was it on you to get that certification?
that was on me.
but a good investment.
Absolutely. All it right. was fantastic.
Well, you should get a raise for that, I think.
Thank you very much.
If you're listening,
Mike's trying
Richard,
to help you out.
Yeah, I'm trying to help you out if I can.
Wonderful.
But like anything else, there's always continuing education. So now that you're this deep into it, do you find out that the more you know, the less you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things I realized when I went over to France was the sheer amount I didn't know. And that is just, for me, more motivating to go out and seek out more opportunities to learn wherever I can and however I can.
You know, radio is a wonderful medium, but we're somewhat handicapped by the fact that we can't look at some of the artwork that is put upon the chocolate when it's all said and can take whatever it is that you paint with. I don't think it's you per se, or do you do some of that painting as well? You do. All right. You have an artist in residence as well, right?
We do.
Now, is this the woman that does the impressionistic artwork?
She is. Catherine Donovan.
Oh, my God.
So incredible.
Yes. She's so talented.
Like the Field of Irises and, I mean, all the Van Gogh stuff.
It makes you not
Monet.
Want to eat it.
Well, yeah, that's the problem.
We hear that a lot. she has unbelievable talent, and it's all edible. It's colored cocoa butter. So it's colored chocolate on chocolate, if you want to think about it in its very basic form.
But is it polymorphic paint?
It absolutely is. We have to temper it. We do. we have to make sure it's at the right temperature. Otherwise, it doesn't come out right. But she has painted beautiful pieces for weddings. She's done individual bars and bonbons, and we're very lucky to have her.
So who else does this? I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
I can say something, you've said twice now that it's like one of the most unique stores in the state. After speaking with Rich the other day, it's one of the most unique stores in the world. In fact, people recently, you just got somebody come to your doorstep. I'm going to remember it right. Maybe from Tokyo,
Japan. Yeah,
from Japan specifically to order stuff for like a year. Right.
Yeah, we have. Last year we did a huge Valentine's Day, and they have what's called White Day order from a Japanese mail order company, and they just let us know again that we'll be doing that again. So it we're known internationally. We're known. Locally, it's just a very unique, interesting place to be and to work and to grow and to.
When I heard that, I thought how fortunate we are to have this, and I think how very few people probably know about it. How fortunate we are to have this right on Elm Street.
No kidding.
In Manchester, New Hampshire, and
it's like, do we really do we deserve this? I mean, shouldn't it be in Boston,
in
North
New York,
End,
or something like that? And he actually did say something about New York. The people who come up here from New York say that this store is even better than a lot of the things in New York as well.
We've had a lot of customers from all over the world say that to us, that, oh, you would do very well in insert major city.
Yeah,
And because it is so unique to get, I mean, Rich made a fedora out of chocolate, life size. So you could actually put it on your head.
And you have special dinners as well.
If it was under 82 degrees.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have special dinners as well. Sometimes he said he's been known to make the dinner plate out of chocolate.
Yes. One of the first Valentine's Day dinners we made, I used colored cocoa butter and real gold luster and made plates for the salad out of it.
So is that plate the dessert when you're done?
No one saved it for dessert. They all ate it right then and there. So a lot of our dinners, all of our dinners have sold out almost as soon as we put them out.
Where do you have them?
Right in the shop.
Right in the shop. So
it's very quaint. Six tables, I believe.
So you can have, 12 people?
12 people.
12 people.
Mm-hmm. And the Valentine's Day, and we have one coming up, the October dinner. And they are, for 12 people, they are 6 to 7 courses, and every course has chocolate in it in some way, shape, or form.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, so what does this cost, and are there any openings left in the October seating, do you know?
There are for the October one. Valentine's Day is filling up very quickly.
I can imagine.
We have two sittings, and I believe it's 2 or 3 o'clock, and then a later sitting as well. It's $150 per person.
Okay.
And it's a wonderful night out. There's live music. We don't tell you what the menu is, so it's a surprise. Truly a unique experience.
Now, could I get it for less if I say don't use any gold luster on my plate?
Sorry, the gold luster comes in there too.
Now, you said that it's cocoa butter, right? That's the medium for, not the paint, but it's
the
applique, whatever it is. So what is the gold portion of it? Is it actually real gold?
Some of it is. We have real edible gold in the shops, very expensive. We also have a lot of other lusters that are just edible lusters made of different kinds of micas and things like that.
Mica is a very shiny, a very sparkly mineral.
It really makes everything beautiful to add that little extra punch.
Now, can you talk a little bit about drinkable chocolate, which I have never heard of before?
Well, that's
you never had a hot chocolate before?
That's not drinkable chocolate. Am I right?
You are right.
That's not drinkable chocolate, Mike.
Okay.
Our drinking chocolate, which we specialize in, has been made for about 3,000 years in Central South America. It is Mayan style, which means it's chocolate melted slowly in water. And we do that over the course of a day or so. And then we put it to be cooled. And then we serve it either iced or hot.
So what could I compare it to that I may have had before?
It's kind of like hot chocolate, except very rich, very decadent. It's unlike anything I've ever had. Okay. Other than there.
And the Mayans, I think, were the original users of cacao, right? Is that how I say that, cacao?
Yes, cacao. Okay, right. The Olmecs, the Mayans, the Aztecs, they worshipped cacao. Some of the people even used it as currency. And it was the cacao drink was reserved for the, I don't want to say the aristocracy, but the high ups in the tribal societies. Yes.
Sure. If you had access to a chocolate based meal or treat of some sort, then you were somebody.
Absolutely.
I would guess.
They served it very differently, but it was definitely a treat to be had. Very special.
Have you been to any of those places in the world, Central America, South America, Africa, where you might get different types of cacao?
I personally have not, but Rich has traveled a lot in Central South America and has had cacao off the tree and cacao made into these drinks. And it's incredible. It's a great experience.
Yeah, it's quite a process, too. I mean, the whole thing, sometimes you'll see it on TV and how they make it or whatever those shows are. And it is amazing that no wonder chocolate is, it could be more expensive, but I suppose the lower level, the Hershey's of the world, there's probably a quicker way to do it. And you probably just go, that's not chocolate.
the process of the beans is really depends on the quality of the bean and where it's made and how it's handled, depending on the farms. The bigger companies will use a less quality bean and add a lot more sugar to it to make it taste a little bit better. And then some of the small farms that we work with only have 10 trees. So they treat their beans very, very, very well.
Wow, like a member of the family.
Yes, very well.
Holy cow.
It's interesting.
We only have a couple minutes left, and I know you're disappointed to hear that. But so I think you said you took lessons there at one point at the Dancing Lion when they were in the Franco-American building. Can folks, I mean, I know you're doing a croissant lesson next week.
We are, croissant class.
And I'm a bread maker, and I've been to King Arthur, and that's where I've got my education for making bread. And I did sit in on a croissant making section, and, well, at least the way they do it, it takes 3 days. Now, is this what I'm going to learn if I come next week?
You can. We have many of the steps done already. It's kind of like watching a cooking show. And, you know, when Julia Child pulls out the finished product and you're like, whoa, that's great.
It's like 24 layers alternating,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So. But you will make the dough and everything else. Then we'll put it aside to rise, and then the next batch is ready to go in the next step.
So you have to do the whole process within that class.
Correct. Yes.
But is it essentially, do I recall it correctly, that it's up to a 3-day process before it's ready to bake?
It is definitely very time intensive.
Yeah. See, I saw that, and I'm thinking, you know, this is a lot closer than Norwich, Vermont, and I would love to make croissants. So how often do you offer that class?
About once a quarter we offer all of our classes.
And is that a day deal, or is it several weeks consecutively?
No, it's just the croissant class will be offered once.
Okay.
And then
a
few months later, right.
And there are other courses as well.
Absolutely.
Chocolate courses where you start with the bean, actually.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. We grind the beans in the back, and then we taste some chocolate, and we taste the beans, and we talk about the bean-to-bar process and the history of it and why chocolate tastes so good.
I'm going to bring my son in to take that class. I think he would really love that.
So here's the next, this is the next take on what Dancing Lion does. You know, right around the corner, a block or two down, is Muse Paint Bar.
Yes.
What you need to do is have that kind of a night where people paint their chocolates, a la Catherine, and, you know, you have a little bit of wine, a little bit of drinkable chocolate,
you
and you walk home with a little candy bar that you painted a la Renoir.
I love it. I love the idea. We're thinking about doing that for Easter. Paint your own egg.
Oh, see that? They beat you to it. But you also have ice cream.
We do have ice cream.
A&E coffee or something, right? One of the variations?
Yeah. Oh, A&E, we used some of their coffee right down the street and made a beautiful coffee one. But like our bonbons, we only make recipes once. And we don't repeat
the same recipe again.
Really?
Right.
Well, excuse me. What would the Mayans say about that?
Well, there is that. but the ice cream, yes, we have. The flavors are always changing. Mm-hmm. We make one batch of each flavor, and when it's gone, it's gone, and it gets replaced. Right now in the shop, we have a mango white tea ice cream, which is really, really yummy.
That sounds really
All right, good. So here's the question. I mean, you're a very specialized boutique, artistic, whatever you want to call it, chocolate shop. Unlike, you know, very few places in the world, really. How can you survive? I mean, is there enough business that you can stay in? And clearly you have, and there must be. I mean, I think I just answered my own question, but I think anybody would look at that business model and say, I don't know, Manchester, New Hampshire, specialized chocolate boutique, art and all that stuff? I don't think so. So what's the secret?
No secret. We have an awesome staff. We have wonderful chocolates coming out all the time. Every time we get a new batch of chocolate, it's slightly different, and it slightly more special to us, and we get a lot of commission work. We do a lot of interesting, unique things, and it brings people back, because every time you come in, there's something different to look at.
I mean, the good thing is, too, you've got it all to yourself, because nobody's going to do it better, probably.
And you've had some nice visitors recently, too. A lot of politicians.
A lot of politicians.
You haven't seen anything yet. Are you ready about the next 6 months? It's going to be nonstop.
Yeah.
They're going to want photo ops in the store if they haven't already.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes,
they were doing that when I was in there the other day.
Yeah, it's been a little crazy past couple months.
So is Catherine able to do portraits of the candidates?
I imagine she could. Absolutely. She did a wedding piece where she actually took a picture of the bride and groom and painted it on there. So
I saw a picture of it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Wow, there's so much more potential. You just guys aren't just living up to. No,
we'll try. We'll try harder.
Well, it's very exciting, and we've just scratched the surface, I know, but we have to let you go because they're probably waiting for you just up the street.
I have to go back and make some more bars
What's the address?
917 Elm Street in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Right. And the website
is dancinglionchocolate.com.
DancingLionChocolate.com. Go check it out.
She is Samantha Downing, and you are, when we say chocolatier, what would your business card say in terms of your...
Credentials.
Yeah, credentials.
It would be Master Chocolatier.
Master Chocolatier.
Yes.
It's impressive.
That is impressive.
Very cool.
Good for you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for coming by today.
Thank you very much for having me.
You
it was wonderful.
Awesome. Yeah, good. Glad. It is 128, all about chocolate, and we'll do another segment on, well... What else? French fries. I don't know. We'll just find other stuff to talk about here in just a couple of moments on Food for Thought. Tracy filling in for Carol today. I'm Mike Morin on 107.7 WTPL. Coming back right after these.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Well, well, well. Hi, everybody. 133, 107.7 WTPL. The Pulse. It's Food for Thought. And we are brought to you by Integrity Health Coaching Solutions in Bedford, Londonderry, and soon at North Conway. And brought to you by New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. Have some fun stuff to tell you about coffee here in just a moment or two. But your follow-up thoughts here, Dancing Lion Chocolate, chocolate in general, and a very interesting conversation with somebody who is very well studied and schooled.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and a master chocolatier. You don't meet one of those every day. You know how I could tell she was a master chocolatier?
No.
When I shook her hand, it melted. It was just it was so weird. I said, wow. All right.
So that's what I need to look for.
Well, next time I'll ask to kiss her hand, I'll just take a bite out of it. I'm sorry.
Just a little nibble.
Yes, exactly.
So one of the things I didn't get a chance to mention is when I was in there the other day, Rich gave me a biscotti. I was waiting because he did have some politicians in there, which was really nice.
Yeah.
And he was so nice, he brought me over a biscotti. And the first thing in my head is, oh, I do not like biscotti. But it was so sweet of him and so thoughtful. I'm like, I'm not going to not eat this.
Right.
Because, you know, it was so nice. I took a bite out of it. It just melted in my mouth.
Oh.
I am officially a fan of biscotti, but it will only be from there.
Well, see, that's the thing. Anything or probably anything you're going to have after that
is
not going to live up to the biscotti standards that they've set at the Dancing Lion. But see, here's the thing. When Rich offers you something that you think you're not going to like, if he offers you some dirt off the floor, eat it, even though there probably isn't any, because it's going to be good.
It probably is.
Say, see this hairball? I don't know where it came from. Would you dip it in some dark chocolate, please?
It'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think Samantha said it was a blueberry lemon biscotti.
Oh, the biscotti, yes.
Yep. And it was dipped in chocolate. Just the end of it was dipped in chocolate. And,
yes.
And of course, I saved that end. Does it matter which way you eat the biscotti? You're supposed to dip the chocolate in first?
It probably does. And
I saved the chocolate
It probably
in for last.
Says something about you. That you like to have the most fun at the end of the day. I'm glad that you brought that up because I ran across an article today online. It's in Harper's Bazaar, the women's magazine, and how you order your coffee says about you. So you just led me right into that. You didn't realize this is where I was going with coffee. Now I found out earlier today in the show that you are not a coffee drinker.
I am not.
So
I told you when I drink coffee.
Yes, exactly.
Once a year, at Christmas time, with about a little bit of coffee and 2 to 3 times as much Bailey's.
Right. So
that's when I drink coffee.
So how could I ever go against that? So Harper's Bazaar has because everybody gets their coffee different. I mean, if you've been into Dunkin' Donuts and you listen to how people order their coffee. They'll say, I want a Dunkin' Dark with, cream and 12 sugars. Well, I think the most I ever heard was 6. I'm exaggerating a little.
But 6 is a lot.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Or they'll say, I'd like to have my coffee with cream and extra, extra, extra. You know, at the counter know what that means.
And the different shots and everything, too,
right? Yeah, exactly. So I've seen coffee come back at Dunkin' Donuts based on how it looks like milk. Just the way people order it. I mean, where is the coffee flavor?
I were to drink coffee, that's the way it would be. It would be more milk and sugar than coffee, probably.
All right, so here's a rundown.
That's why I don't drink it.
Of coffee types, and this is a women's magazine, so the the voice or the perspective is women. So this is describing, you know, how women, because it was written by a woman. If you like your coffee black, you are a minimalist. Makes sense,
okay.
Right? And which is how I like mine.
Yep.
Most likely a city girl, or at least at heart, you're all about keeping it sleek when it comes to fashion. See, they tied coffee preferences with fashion together.
Okay.
Your closet is filled with almost all neutrals, and you know the sartorial power of pairing black and white, much like yourself today. You're no fuss and to the point, and it shows in your wardrobe and in your coffee cup.
Interesting.
So
just a plain non-frills coffee cup as well.
Just probably, yeah, and black coffee. No sugar, which is how I generally drink my hot coffee. Latte.
So is your closet like that? Pretty minimalistic?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I would say compared to Barbara's, it certainly is. I don't have a ton of clothes, but
you're also
a guy,
so that's hard to compare.
Exactly. All right. So now, see, you would like a latte because a latte is made with milk. And it's mostly milk, and it's really got a very nice flavor. You don't really taste the coffee that much.
Okay.
So that, you know, if you ever, you tried biscotti, mm-hmm. and you liked it.
I did.
You might try a latte.
Okay.
But get one at a coffee shop.
Real coffee shop.
Exactly.
Okay.
So here it is. If your choice is latte, that is the cool classic, according to Harper's Bazaar. Laid back and chic, you're all about embracing shirting, knitwear, and denim. You look to the row. I guess that's a store, a women's store.
Okay.
For constant outfit inspiration and favor a look that combines style and ease, just like your easy does it cup of Joe.
All right.
Latte, very good. I would say if you're ever going to enter the coffee world, and you may at some time, that would be get a latte.
Well, I might have to hear the rest of them because maybe I can do it the opposite. Maybe I can start with what my style is and then choose my coffee.
Good thought. Next on the list here, got a few more. Espresso. You are the downtown girl. You're not afraid to show off your type A personality with both your coffee order and your look. It's all in the details for you and with edgy accessories on constant rotation. You have a cutthroat outlook when it comes to your caffeine, and your closet packs a punch to match. Oh. Espresso is very strong.
Yeah, that's not me.
All right, so you're not the downtown girl?
No.
All right.
I think I could maybe mix all three of these so far.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be $14 if that's the case. Iced coffee. If you like iced coffee, which I do, you are the trendsetter. You're always working the latest designer it pieces into your wardrobe. You follow the runways like hard news and think investing in classics is boring. Your Insta selfie isn't complete without an iced coffee in one hand and the latest Alexander Wang booties on your feet.
I definitely have to say I've picked
a little bit of you in each
everyone.
One.
Yeah.
All right. Two more to go.
Oh, more. Okay.
All right. This is, again, how you order your coffee says about you. Cappuccino, the classic. Much like your drink order, your style is classic and polished. When you're not donning a camel coat, you may spice things up with a fur chubby you inherited from your grandmother. The closet is filled mostly with timeless silhouettes that you plan to wear forever. Cappuccino. Cappuccino's good. Get that down.
I do drink cappuccino sometimes. So, well, the K-cups.
Oh, really?
Cappuccino. But it tastes more like chai.
Yeah.
I'm a chai girl.
Yeah, yeah. That's not the real thing.
That's not really cappuccino.
Out of a Keurig. I mean, a Keurig is great, and I love it. It's convenient. Yeah. That's not how you want to drink your cappuccino.
That's probably why I like it, though.
Okay.
Because right. It's not really coffee.
I forgot. Hamburger helper. Okay.
Right.
And finally.
Ouch.
Finally, latte with foam art. Now, that's really cool stuff.
Okay.
Agreed. And you are the artist. Your coffee order, much like your strategically placed accessories, are selected solely based on their Instagram value. You can't help but style your dainty rings, sunglasses, and foam art together for the perfect gram. It's practically built into your morning routine. So of all those, you take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and we would have Tracy Gregoire.
That is why I don't drink coffee, because I would have to have, it would be all of those.
What initially turned you away from coffee, would you say?
Just the taste.
The taste, yeah.
I like sweet, and if I have to add a ton of sugar to something to enjoy it, then it's not worth it for me.
That's for sure. Yeah. You know, like anything else, it's an acquired taste.
I mean,
some cultures, the kids are drinking coffee at 5. you know, and so the, you know, and I have one iced coffee a day. I make it at home. You know, in the morning, I'll make the black cup of coffee, put it in the fridge, let it chill down, and then just a splash of cream, some ice, pour it in there, take it to work here.
So you're the iced coffee
guy. I'm the iced coffee guy. I've been called the ice princess, but that was after a few too many beverages. So we're at 142, which means I think it's time for a break, and we will return with more scintillating conversation. At my side today is Tracy Gregoire. I'm Mike Moore, and this is Food for Thought, 107.7 WTPR, The Pulse.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7, The Pulse.
47, depending on where you live, you may or may not have had the rain today. We've had just a few sprinkles and a light shower downtown Manchester, which is why we decided to not do our Friday outdoor broadcast, which we have been doing for much of the summer, and brought it inside today. Rain and broadcast equipment do not mix very well.
No, they do not.
So it would be an expensive proposition if it got wet. So anyway, we're here downstairs, and a few events having to do with beer and brewing that Michael Hopley Pierce told us about yesterday. In case you missed it, I will just run down real quickly. Tomorrow there will be a pig roast at New England's Tap House Grill on Hooksett Road, a big brewing event. And Hop Talks, this is a week from tomorrow. It's sort of an all-day, I don't want to call it a seminar, but it's listening to brewers talk, answering your questions, sampling beers. And again, the organization is Hop Talks, and it's happening, Hop Heads, but this is Hop Talks, their event at the Nashua Radisson, and you can get your tickets at eventbrite.com. So it's, if you're into brewing, really individual and fun beer, as the state has gone crazy the last couple of years with nearly 40 microbrews.
Yes,
and
it has.
More on the way. This is something you probably would want to attend. We're at 148, just minutes away from Kale and Company, starring Ken Kale, here on The Pulse. And the Comedy Cold Cuts segment featured a tune by parody writer, parodist, I guess you'd call him, Weird Al Yankovic. And you were telling me that that some schools are kind of getting kids into writing parodies.
Yes, it's
really? Is this your kids' school?
Yeah, and a lot of schools that I've heard of, but definitely my kids' school in Goffstown.
Yeah,
in their music class, and they write a parody. Mm-hmm. And each year, like, the kids know, you know, if they have siblings or friends that are older than them, right, they look forward to it. They're like, oh, I know what I'm going to do for my parody. It's a thing that they do, and they can pick any song that they want.
Wow!
And they have to create, words,
right.
They typically like to make it funny. Sometimes it's food. Actually, my son's parody last year was food related. Mm-hmm. It was, I don't remember, but it was hilarious. And it was all about, wanting to have a snack, I think. And it's really cool because it gets them to, be creative and enjoy music in a different way.
That's awesome.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I was thinking of that when
that.
We were listening to Weird Al. That, I had never even heard of that. He was when in the 80s, when I was in school, it was kind of interesting and something new that, oh, look, somebody's taking these songs and making parodies out of them. And now it's just mainstream with what they're doing in the schools.
Yeah. I mean, the parodies weren't new in the 80s, but Weird Al really.
Maybe it's just because I was young.
Yeah, well, and still are in my book. But Weird Al really brought it to the masses.
Right.
There were a couple of parodies that had a little mild success, and they were considered novelty songs. But, Weird Al has built an entire career on, well, first his accordion and then his parody writing, and he's brilliant. So I think that's very cool that the kids are doing that in your kids' school. Very nice. Well, if they come up with anything that's really great food-wise, send it our way. Have him record it. Maybe we'll...
Oh, my son would love to do that. I'll have him record
that's
his
food. That's all I had to do was tie that, right?
Yep.
So
how many cold cuts the kids' parody versions?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Keep it clean, kids, will you please? So McDonald's has a new app. And it could help you get free food, so we just thought we'd throw this out so that you know. McDonald's is giving out free food with the launch of its new mobile app. Some of the deals available through the app include a free breakfast sandwich, also a free dessert with any purchase, buy one, get one free breakfast sandwich, and a free Happy Meal with a premium salad purchase.
Interesting.
There's also a coffee loyalty program, Tracy will not be joining, available through the app where customers can get a free McCafe beverage for every five they purchase. The deals, which vary by region, will change each week according to the company. Customers can access them by downloading the app, registering a username, and tailoring the app to their location. They can scan their phone in the restaurant to take advantage of deals as well. So, I mean, you may see that if you got kids, that might be something that saves you a little bit of money. I mean, obviously, then you're into their system and they can.
Oh, yeah, they definitely.
They can get in touch with you anytime.
We're going to be scanning our phones all over the place.
Have you ever done
now.
That? Have you ever used it for.
Actually, yes, I have. Famous Footwear.
Uh-huh.
Famous Footwear has an app and your points accrue and then you can spend them and they just scan your app or even a coupon code. If you email the
yes.
coupon code, they can just mm-hmm. scan it right off the email.
Yeah.
I have done that once before. I thought that was kind of neat.
That is kind of fun to do. I mean, a lot of people are doing that. I did it actually recently at Michael's, the craft store.
Yeah.
Because they've always got stuff like, 40% off, any item in the store that you want. And then, of course, there's nine lines of stuff that doesn't apply.
Right.
It's like a Macy's coupon, It's good for, come to Macy's. And then you look, I wanted to get a polo shirt.
Oh,
I wanted to buy
polo.
I wanted to buy KitchenAid mixer. Oh, doesn't click. I wanted to buy a Movado watch. Oh, that's not going to work. Well, what the hell do I want?
Yeah.
But anyway.
But it's nice if the apps and using your phone because if you what I always do or used mm-hmm. to do is print out a coupon or something at home
yes.
and then leave it at home.
Oh, right.
So this solves that problem for me.
Yes. Yeah, and you save a tree.
True.
So it's good in that sense as well. As we move ever closer to a paperless world.
Yes.
Which is going to be great until the whole grid goes down. That's one thing that's always in the back of my mind is, we do our banking online. We got everything online. Mm-hmm. Our passwords are, the whole world now, and our electrical grid, everything is through some kind of an internet situation. Mm-hmm. And,
it's a little scary.
Keep a little cash in the house. That's all I can tell you. Here's interesting. In a sport that already dances on the fringe of society, ultra runner Scott Jurek is a true rarity. As one of the athletes who helped make ultra marathons, any race longer than 26.2 miles, mainstream, Jurek has smoked the competition in some of the world's most punishing trail and mountain races. Not only did he take home the win at the prestigious Western States 100-miler 7 years in a row. Are you kidding me?
100-mile
He also set a course record in 2005 for the Badwater 135, which is an epic 135-mile race through the Death Valley. It was 130 degrees. Seriously?
130 degrees and 130 miles.
Right. Does he have a death wish?
I think so.
In July, just last month, he completed a run across the entire Appalachian Trail. Do you have any idea how long the Appalachian Trail is? It starts in Georgia and ends up in Maine.
And it's not like it's just running a flat surface.
Right. 2,200 miles.
Most people hike it, not run it.
And most people don't finish it either.
How many miles?
2,200 miles. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Starts in Georgia, ends at Mount Katahdin.
How long did that take him?
It took him 46 days, 8 hours, and 7 minutes. And what's really crazy about this, he broke the record by only 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
So can you imagine you go all this way, and you realize you're within striking distance, and, something bad happens.
Yeah.
Your shoes disappear, something, and you can't finish. But anyway, the reason I mention this is because Jurek happens to be an accomplished home cook and vegan. He shared his story and his favorite recipes in his book, Eat and Run, which is a plant-based diet. Now, when he's running the Appalachian Trail or probably any of these Ironman competitions, he typically requires 5,000 to 6,000 calories a day.
Oh, my.
Typically,
and so how does he get that if he's running? Just the places that are along the way,
well,
the Trail Angels?
I think he probably essentially, prepares for that and makes a lot of stuff that he knows he can make that's going to pack a lot of caloric stuff. So
that's
and a
impressive.
Lot of carbs. So there it is. The book, again, is called Eat and Run. I actually have a request into him to come on the air. I mean, it's a hot book, so who knows if he's got time to do interviews. But if he does, we'll have him here on The Pulse. Tracy Gregoire, fun to have you in the studio today.
I love being here.
I hope you don't have a parking ticket when you leave.
No, me too. I'm like 5 minutes over.
Thanks to our producer, J-Dog, doing a great job at our studios in Bow. Ken Kale, Kale & Company is next. I'm Mike Moore, and Carol returns on Monday. Food for Thought at noon. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend.
Take care.